This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Sherrod Blakely is with NBC Sports Boston. He covers the NBA and the Celtics. He's back on the bench. Hey, Sherrod, how you been, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm not doing too well, obviously. I got to tell you, my soul got ripped out tonight with that... with that lottery. I don't know, you know, because I mean, honestly, if you can understand, obviously, right, that if you've been sitting here watching the Knicks suck your entire life and you're a Knicks fan, would it not like bother you just a little teeny bit that you ended up with the three instead of the one or the two? I mean, even two, I would have been bummed out. I thought, you know, I didn't think they were going to get it ever, but the fact that they got three, even though everybody's like, oh, it's great, they got RJ Barrett, I feel like I just got kicked in the stones.
Well, I mean, this is a draft that I think, no matter who you talk to, they're all consensus that there's one player that is head and shoulders above anyone and everyone else in the draft, and that's Zion Williamson. And if you have the worst record in the NBA, obviously, and you're, what you're feeling is legit. You expect to get that number one pick. But the rules this year were modified so that as an effort to kind of curtail tanking, the teams with the three worst record each had equal opportunity to get the number one pick. And even with that being said, lo and behold, a team like the Pelicans, of all teams, winds up with the number one pick, and they only had a 6% chance of getting the number one overall pick. And believe me, I mean, as disappointing as obviously that was for the Knicks fans, it is an absolute game changer in terms of what happens going forward. Because now, you know, the Pelicans, obviously with Anthony Davis, he is a guy that they're looking at moving, a guy that wants to be traded. And the one chip that most teams thought they could possibly send New Orleans' way to pry Anthony Davis from their hands is already in hand in New Orleans. So it's going to be a very interesting summer to see what happens with Anthony Davis and the Pelicans.
So what do you think will happen to him?
I think the first thing is that David Griffin is going to do everything he can to convince Anthony Davis to give him a shot. Let's play the season out. You got Zion, you've got Drew Holiday, you've got some decent players around you. It's not like this team totally sucks. But Anthony Davis, I think at the end of the day, I think he still will be moved. It's going to be a massive haul. I think when all said and done, whatever team makes a deal for Anthony Davis, we might be looking at a deal that would be the NBA version of the Herschel Walker deal years, decades ago, where, you know, they got an absolute boatload of assets that obviously set them up to be a championship contender for years to come. I think it's going to be that type of deal that you're going to have to give David Griffin to get Anthony Davis, because, again, there's no rush for him to get a deal done, and he is holding the one card that every team wanted a piece of, knowing that with it you had a legitimate shot of getting Anthony Davis and not having to really gut your roster, per se, to do so.
Well, they're not going to get rid of Zion unless he's stupid. So I think that my question is then, so if you were Griffin and if you were running that team and you had the four with the Lakers and everything that they had offered before, which I'm sure they're willing to go back and have those conversations for the likes of Kuzma and Ingram, et cetera, and the number four, if that deal is on the table, or do you think that they'd be interested in getting R.J. Barrett and that three from the Knicks and like a Knox or something, or, you know, even the big kid in the middle that everybody is so lathered up about with the Knicks, who I, you know, still don't think has done much other than block some shots? Do you think that's more attractive, or even the Celtics, who had interest in him as well? Do you which one's more attractive to you in terms of, probability?
I think right now, if I had to give it a pecking order, I would say Lakers 1, Celtics 2, and the Knicks 3. And here's why. The Lakers have a combination now of a high draft pick in this year's draft, and they've got young guys who've proven themselves to be legit NBA players who are still under rookie contracts. And if you pair those guys up with a Zion Williamson, you're not expecting to win right away. But what you have done is you've started the building block and foundation for a team that has a lot of young talent that's only going to get better over time. And again, you're not going to be killing your cap in the process to do that. I would put the Celtics second because the Celtics have, you know, decent draft picks, not great, but decent ones. But they also have two legit wing guys that the idea of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Zion Williamson all on the same roster, my goodness. I mean, you've got a team right there. That's your big three. For years to come, all three of those guys are going to be in the all-star conversation, I believe, in the next 2, 3, 4 years. And so if that's your core, and those guys, you know, other than Jaylen Brown, who will get an extension, you've got a really good nucleus if you're the Pelicans. When you consider the fact that you just gave away a player like Anthony Davis, and that's what you get in return. And the Knicks, I don't think they're going to have much of a shot now because that number three pick is just not that sexy. And they've got all that cap space, which is great, but I just don't think the Knicks have the picks and the talent to compete with the Lakers and the Celtics for Anthony Davis.
So let me ask you this question. So what do you think of overall of Barrett and do you remember, like, I was saying to these guys earlier in here tonight that, like, the Knicks were drooling over Kevin Knox last year. Everyone was talking about how great he was. You remember in Summer League he was dominating, yeah. And everybody was like, oh, my God, the future is so bright. And then he found out the hard way what it's like playing in the NBA this year. I thought he was, you know, he had a couple of signs of you know, positivity and some skill for sure. But no one thought that he was going to be – he was really kind of just average. Let's face facts. Yeah. Do you think Barrett's that much better than that kid?
I think Barrett's better. I'm not sure how much better. I think Knox is probably a better athlete, but I think Barrett is a better skilled player. I think Barrett can get to his spots and be an effective scorer better than Knox can. And just his overall game, I think, is just better. The way I look at it, if R.J. Barrett is the consolation prize for the New York Knicks and not getting Zion Williamson, there's a lot worse players that you can wind up with. I think he's going to be a good player in this league. I'm not sold on him as being a future all-star. I think there's potential for that. A lot's going to just depend on the situation that he winds up in and just how much is he willing to put in the work to get better. Because right now, I like a lot of what he does, but I don't love it.
Right.
He's not a no-brainer like a Zion Williamson or guys that we've seen come into the league in recent years who just, you know, there was no question they were going to be, you know, a really big deal. But he's a good player, and I think Fizdale is the right kind of coach for him. But a lot's going to just depend on whether RJ is going to put in the time and work to get better, because right now he's far from being a guy that you can build around. But I do think he's got some skills that translate well at the next level.
I'm with you on a lot of that, most of it, in fact. I will say, because you said at one point, I think, you don't feel him as like an all-star type player.
No, I don't.
Well, then that means is, you know, in Portuguese, where I come from, it means what I said. He's an average player. I think he's a good player, like you do, but if he's not an all-star in the NBA, then you're average. That's all there is to it. So here's the deal. Let me ask you this question. I got 2 minutes, respectfully. Tell me about Kyrie Irving's, like, mental, like, what is his status right now? Because, boy, this guy, he needs we need to have a therapist. We need, because he's never happy. Is he out of Boston?
I think if he had to make the decision right now, he would be out of Boston. I think ultimately, though, over the summer, he's going to look at all the pros and cons of staying in Boston, leaving Boston, and I think he's going to wind up back in Boston. And here's the thing that, you know, we haven't talked a lot about. A lot has been made of his relationship with Kevin Durant and how they're basically a package deal. I would keep a very, very close eye on the Los Angeles Clippers for a couple reasons, winding up with Kevin Durant, and here's why. The series that they gave the Golden State Warriors was so much tougher than I think anyone anticipated, and that is going to resonate with Kevin Durant. When you look at Doc Rivers and his ability to get in that room and convince guys and work his mojo, I think he's going to have a very real shot at landing Kevin Durant. And to me, I worry – if I'm the Knicks, I worry about them more than any other team outside of Golden State because of the location, because of the coach that's going to be involved, and because of that front office, how energetic and excited they are about NBA basketball. So I'm not ready to punch KD's ticket to New York just yet.
All right, I got 1 minute. What is the problem with Rozier?
That's a wonderful question. Make a long story short, he did not anticipate his role being as dramatically different this year as it wound up being. He never adjusted to coming off the bench. He never adjusted to playing fewer minutes. And I think the biggest challenge for him was how coming off the bench, he was used to coming off the bench and being the primary ball handler, the playmaker. They gave that job to Gordon Hayward. And that put Terry kind of out in the corner, just basically became a more spot-up shooter. That's not his game. He's not effective that way. And so that's why he's really, you know, he's ready to leave. And understandably so. He just wants to be in a situation, a role that takes advantage of what he does best. And that didn't happen this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, killer stuff, A-Sherrod. Always a pleasure having you on the bench. Great coverage tonight of the lottery with us and talking about the Celtics and Knicks and Lakers. I appreciate you. Great having you back on the bench.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. A-Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.